I started last week, but they left there and they went on. Now they went to everybody got riled, and so Paul left Timothy and Barnabas, or they went to Berea, and then he left them in Berea, and he had to go on then to Athens, is where we are today. Everywhere he goes, they're wanting to kill him, stone him, or do something. And now we see him, he has gone to Athens by himself. While he's waiting on them, I'm going to read one verse today, but he is now waiting on Silas and Timothy to come to Athens. And if you would stand with me, I want to read one verse here, and I'm going to probably go ahead and read three verses out of Exodus chapter 20. Verse 16 says, "Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry." In Exodus chapter 20 and verse 3, the Bible says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers unto the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me." Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Father, for your goodness, your blessings, and all your mercy and grace. Father, add your blessings to the reading of your word. Add your blessings to this service. And Lord, add your anointing upon the old preacher boy. And Father, I need you today. And I ask you, Lord, to be with us and meet our needs. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Y'all thought I was already done, didn't you? Amen. If this morning I mentioned the word baking soda, what do you think of? I say baking soda. Clean. Well, that's a good one. Well, let me get a little more specific. What brand do you think of? Arm & Hammer. I mean, it's this plain and simple. If you think of bacon, you mentioned baking soda, I see that big Arm & Hammer on that yellow box. And or orange, whatever color it is. But I think, and automatically, when we think of baking soda, we identify it with Arm & Hammer. They've pretty much got a monopoly. I'm sure there's other brands out there, but they pretty much got a monopoly on baking soda. Can I get amen right there? And we're thinking of that, and I'm not going to preach on baking soda today, but see, God wants a monopoly on our praise and worship. He wants us, when it comes to praise and worship, it comes to giving our allegiance to something, God wants it to be just the same as baking soda. It every bit goes to Him. That He is the only one that we are concerned about, that we care anything about. He wants a monopoly on the market of our praise and worship. Our affections. The Bible says, set our affections on things above, and our affections and our seat of emotions and everything that He wants. He wants, He said there in Exodus 20, that He was a jealous God. Now, a lot of us is married, and if our spouse started making eyes at somebody else, that righteous indignation would set in, wouldn't it? And we wouldn't like it. And when our eyes go to wandering, and our hearts go somewhere else other than God, He don't like it.
He gets jealous. He's a jealous God. And as we see here in this verse that as Paul was waiting for them, the Bible says that his spirit was stirred in him. And I just jotted down the first thing was that he was very aggravated. Paul got aggravated when he looked around. See, Paul knowed God in a special way. And Paul knowed what God had done for him in his life, and he knew what the answer to all of the questions was. He knew what it meant to praise the Lord. He knew who God was. He had been struck down by the awesome power of Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, and he knew a little bit about who God was. And when he got in the midst of this city, that holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y, holy, completely followed the Lord, or completely was in idolatry worship, or, in other words, full of idols. Holy, given in, his spirit was stirred up. I've done a little research, and they said no other city in all the world had more idols than Athens did. And somebody humorously said that it was easier to find an idol in Athens than it was to find a man. 30,000 idols in the city to worship publicly, not counting how many was in their homes. They worshiped the idol Athena, which is a fertility goddess and a goddess of war. And she was supposedly Zeus's daughter that was born out of his forehead that didn't even have a mother. But that's their big god, their big idol that they served in Athens. Paul walked in and it turned his stomach. See, Athens was more splendid in architecture than anybody. They was more brilliant in science than anyone. They was more beautiful in art than any other city in the world. Maybe some of the things that Red said, maybe all the world combined together could not match their beauty and their architecture and the things they had. See this? And we don't read where Paul walked through admiring these things. We didn't read here what he went through, and I just have to be honest with you. I'd have been checking architecture out. If I went there today, I love architecture. We didn't see him examining the art. We didn't see him going through and looking at all these things. We've seen here that he was stirred up. His spirit was stirred up. He was sick at his stomach when he seen all these idols and all these gods. And for another day, I'll probably preach another message. He goes on a little further, and he seen a tomb of the unknown God. And boy, he made a message out of that one. But just thinking, they even went on, they had every god, and then they come up with one they didn't even know who was, but they was going to worship him anyway. Of course, Paul takes opportunity to tell them who that is. But thinking here now of Paul's reaction, would you agree with me this morning that he was pretty aggravated when he seen what was going on in that city? We've seen that he was aggravated. Next, I want to look at how do we react? How do we react to sin and idols and the things of this world that ought to turn our stomach? Rhonda and I, years ago, when we went to Brazil to visit the Acocks, and as we went through, they took us to a couple places, and they took us to the second richest church in Brazil. Whew. There was gold everywhere. The ceilings was gold. Everything about it was gold. And if I'm not mistaken, they wouldn't even let you take a picture, would they? They didn't want it to do anything. It would have been there so long. And have you ever seen just a gold building? I've been in one of those. Like, it's gold everywhere. I'm telling you, breathtaking. How beautiful. How tremendous this building was. And I was just awe-stricken. Until I seen it. And I made my way up to the front. And they had some stuff here set up for their worship and the different things. And they had a thing, a glass coffin, I guess you call it, and Jesus' body laying in there. Boy, I lost it all right there. That was it for me. I lost everything. All the respect I had for that place, it stirred something up within me. And I went out there saying, my God's not dead. He's still alive. He's still on the throne. He's in control. He came out of that grave. And I tell you, it stirred something within me.
Amen.
What stirs us up today? Does sin stir us up and rip our hearts out? See, we see here that it did with Paul.
Amen.
I want to share something else with you. Several years ago, I was working with a guy. He came into work, and I don't ever say nothing about what anybody wears, but he had on a T-shirt. And it had the cross and Jesus' body hung on it. And he had Ozzy Osbourne's head on that body. It had little demons and bats and stuff all around it. I'm telling you what, I got sick at my stomach. These tears started coming out of my eyes. I started trembling all over. You talking about ripping. And I told that guy, I said, I'll buy you a shirt if you'll let me destroy that one. And he said, Tim, I promise you I'll never wear it again since it bothered you. But I'm going to keep it. But he said, I promise you I won't wear it anymore. And he didn't. I wanted to rip it up to shreds. That's my Savior that they're making fun of. I had some friends that went to Mardi Gras one time. And the two women, of course, Dwight was a man, and he heard they had some good ribs down there, so he wanted to go down, and I'd have probably been with him. But his wife and a friend was so scared that they held arms together and stayed so close together that there was so much sin and so much wickedness, and it was so in your face that they were scared even being there. They had no desire to go back. See, how do we react to sin? Can we sit down beside it? Can we enjoy it? Can we watch a television show that's got a lot of it on it? Can we enjoy music that's got a bunch of that mess in it? Can we enjoy things of the world today that is engulfed with idolatry and sin? Or does it turn our stomachs? It ought to make us mad at the devil.
Amen.
It ought to make us sick, not mad at folks, not mad at people, but make us sick at our stomach. Some of the things that goes on. And the third thing, sin ought to make us sick, not mad at folks. In Exodus, I read it, chapter 20, verses 3 through 5. God's real plain. He said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. He didn't mince his words. He said, he went on to say, thou shalt not make any graven image, any likeness. Verse 5, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. When we start giving our affection to things other than God, we're not going to be in the right relationship with Him as we ought to be. Amen? Want to start with covetousness. In Exodus chapter 20, in verse 17, the Bible said, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. To covet means to desire or lust after. We studied and talked about David some this morning. David coveted his neighbor's wife. He said when he should have been out to battle, he was up on top of the house just messing around. He looked down and saw Bathsheba. He said, "Who is that?" Called one of his servants, and they said, "Well, King, that's Uriah's wife." Hint, hint, wink, wink, nod, nod. "She's married your man." He said, "Go get her." See, it started with covetousness. He saw something he liked, and he didn't refrain from it. What did he do? Then he made himself a god. Covetousness, which is idolatry, it says in the book of Ephesians. And he made himself a god. Ahab, what did he do? He went home one day crying to his wife.
"Naboth's got a vineyard over and won't let me have it."
Amen? Pretty well what happened? He went home sucking snot and his lip all rolled out. Wouldn't even eat. Went and laid down on the bed. She said, "Don't worry, honey. I'll take care of you." But he coveted what was not his. And she had Naboth, an innocent man, killed because to get it. What David and David's sin, her husband was killed. He lied, he deceit, and all this was tied in with it, and murder come out of it. When sin, James says, when sin has settled in our heart, then it, and when it's finished, it brings death. Covetousness. See, God don't only forbid external sins, He forbids the internal sins of the word covetousness that starts between our ears. Come on. If we had never let it become sin here and here, it would never work out in our bodies. Where did Satan start sinning? What was his sin? Let me read you a verse. I was thinking about this, and in Isaiah chapter 14, say how in verse 12, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did maketh weakeneth the nations?" Won't you let verse 13? It says, "For thou hast said in thine heart." It started right there. It started right there. Wow. The most hideous crimes and sins starts there. Wow. Covetousness. Covetousness is also greed. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, the Bible says, "For the love of money is the root of all evil. While some what coveted after, they have erred from the faith and have pierced themselves through with many sorrows." Coveted and erred from the faith. When we covet, what that is the sin that we are putting ourselves above God. We have turned ourselves into a god. And in the United States of America today, that the biggest idol, false god that there is in America is the god of self, the god of me, the god of I, and all of the folks that come in and selling stuff pray on that, God, and I'll tell you what, it keeps us broke, it keeps us in debt, it keeps us that we've got to have the best that money can buy, and if a neighbor's got a new car, ours has got to be a little bit better. If a neighbor, you go down the neighborhood, the first house here is this big, the second house here is this big, the third house is this big. It goes right on down the aisle, and what it is covetousness that sets in our hearts, and we exalt ourselves above God and make ourselves God. One of the another God is the God of drugs. Boy, I'm telling you, there's a big market out there today. Illegal drugs, they go, we have a cocaine, amphetamines, marijuana, heroin, all these things I'll tell you what, probably one of the biggest problems we face in the world today is our drug epidemic. Most crimes is related to drugs. They're either doing it to get money to get the drugs, they either are on drugs, or it's or something after the drugs. A big epidemic in the world today. What it is, we are seeking after self-gratification through drugs. And I tell you, I'm not going to stop there. And if y'all run me off this morning, then it's been good being your pastor. You can say, he loved us. There's also legal drugs. Alcohol. Alcoholism. I'm going to tell you. My daddy's a good man. Worked every day, never missed a minute to work. And Gary got on me one night, but he was still an alcoholic, Brother Gary. He's a good man. I never missed a meal, never done without a thing. But my daddy was an alcoholic. And my mama lived in fear most of her life, afraid that he was going to come in drunk. As long as it's beer, it's okay. But when he come in on the white liquor, now it's a different story. Alcohol will destroy you. Alcohol will destroy your family. Alcohol will destroy your kids' families. It's one of the tools right out of the pits of hell. I wish I could preach a message on it. I can't even think of his name. He walked around the whole message with a bottle. I think the deputy brought the bottle in to him, and he preached a message on following the bottle. Well, I tell you, it's bad business. And stimulants and depressants, antidepressants, and all these drugs that's running so rampant. Nicotine. These drugs that we deal with. Now I'm going to get on down there, and I'm going to get on this one because it's all over the preacher. Caffeine. Now I don't drink coffee, but my Diet Coke's full of caffeine. And I'll tell you, that Diet Coke, and you can ask around, that's my coffee. That's usually one of the first things that I get of the morning. It's my caffeine. You know what the Lord spoke to me the other day? Is that your God? I make my way to the refrigerator before I make it to my study to worship Him. Wow. Am I putting that Diet Coke before God? We see it, and we look, and I'm getting some strange looks. I still love you. Do you still love a preacher? If you love me, smile and wave at me. But the Lord used this to get me. It got my mind. I was in the service Tuesday night, and the preacher there preached something similar. And I already had my thoughts going this way, and I said, praise the Lord. You know, the Lord showed me. And he asked a question. He said, what is the very first thing that you do when you get out of bed? Of course, excuse me, and I don't mean to be. Of course, I think we'll need to exclude going to the bathroom out of that. But then, what is the first thing that we do? What's the first thing? What is the number one thing that is on our mind when we wake up? What have we been awake a lot of the night worrying about? What is it that takes most of our time through the day with our thoughts? What do you think about all day long more than anything? We think about things, whatever is the most important to us is what is on our mind. And whatever is most important to us could possibly be our God. What if we finish this phrase? I would lose all joy in my life without. Fill that in. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And then leisure. The God of leisure. How much do we spend on our habits or in our hobbies? How much time and money? I just jotted these down. Golf, fishing, hunting, watching TV, reading books, being on a computer, being on our phones. I'm going to ask you a question now. This and I'll get the stones. Are you in His book as much as you are on Facebook? Are we in His word and devotion as much as we're in watching television, on our phones, on the computer, playing golf, whatever it may be? A couple of weeks ago, there's something happened, and it was not here local. It was away from here just a little bit, and I preached a lot longer than I meant to. Shirley's may have to wait on us. But they said that the social media, Facebook and something else, I don't know if it's Instagram or one of the others, something happened, they went completely out in that city. Maybe in a couple cities. Did you hear it on the news? The people got so tore up, they started calling the law. It's so much that the law had come out and put it on their website and maybe on the news and said, do not call us. We can't have no control over this. Now that's the truth. I heard it on the radio. If it's a lie, they told it. Officer, get down here quick, 911. I'm out of service. And we laugh. It's funny, isn't it? That's where we are. There are so many gods of this world. And today if a preacher gets up and mentions a God and everybody thinks, you're crazy. We don't worship. We don't have God sitting around. Or do we? I'm gonna give you a test. How do you react if you forget and leave your cell phone at the house? I'm gonna tell you how I react. All the pieces. I ran off and left it. It's been a long time ago. I ran off and left it one day and I said, oh, I'm too far down the road. I won't go back. I'll be all right. I couldn't even tell you what time it was. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day and thank you, Lord, for your goodness. And Father, as we used a little humor this morning and we kind of laughed and chuckled together, but Lord, we ask you now to speak to our hearts. And Father, I pray that you would help us, and Lord, to open up our eyes. And Father, if there is anything that we're letting come in between us and you, then Father, I pray that you'd reveal it to our minds today. And Lord, I pray you'd help us have a greater desire to serve you. And Lord, we love you and praise you today. And Father, I just pray you'd minister to our hearts and help us, God, toward idols and sin.